Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Mark, I know that you love yourself, the folks at Pro Football Focus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I don't have... I mean,
you've come around a little bit.
Yeah, some of the stuff they do is great. There's no question about it. Again, you know, it has to do with grading things that you have no context on. And that's always a difficult thing, which, like, let's face it. All of us do it, right? All of us do it to a point. You know, but some of us actually been there and done it and know, you know, what's expected of you type of thing. So I'm always, there's some things that I look at and they say, you guys are grading something that you don't have the context of a rundown. You don't have a context of the play that was called. You don't have a context of how it was coached, you know, and you're grading a player, on some of those things that you, there's no way you could know.
Well, so, speaking of context.
Okay.
I mean, this is right down your alley. Here's one served up into your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Football Focus has ranked their offensive lines going into this upcoming season.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have the Broncos offensive line heading into this season ranked 12th in the entire NFL.
Really? 12th? Based on what? What do they say? I'd like to know how. How do they have that ranked 12th?
You know, I just went to it and it said this site is down for maintenance. Hold on. I'll try to see what I can find out more on. But
well, speaking of maintenance, that's why they hired Mike Munchak, because that site had been down for maintenance for several years, and now they've got somebody who is supposed to change that around and maintain it a little.
Seriously,
bit.
I'm trying to find. It says the site is currently down for maintenance. What are you doing? We're trying to do a radio show here, Pro Football Focus. We're trying to give you a little bit of love.
Mm. Are we?
And your site is down for maintenance?
Mm.
Now, you blew it!
The best laid plans, Mike Evans.
I know. But you know what they... Here's something interesting. Guess where they have the Steelers line?
Right?
And this is without Mike Munchak coaching it, by the way.
I would say So let's say they'd be top five. Let's say
number three.
Yeah.
Eagles at number one.
Yeah.
Cowboys at number two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Steelers at number three.
Okay. What do they got? The Rams. Rams top five?
They actually have the Rams behind the Broncos.
Automatically.
At number 13.
Automatically. I cannot put any merit into that's garbage. Automatically I can't look at that and say, you guys know what you're talking about. So Andrew Whitworth at left tackle versus Garrett Bowles. Juwan James at right tackle versus, what's the cat's name that plays right tackle? Just got a contract from them. He's a good player.
For the Broncos, Juwan James.
No, Juwan James. I'm talking about the Rams right tackle. I know this guy too. He's a good player. He's a bit of a brawler, but he's actually a good player. Rob, Havenstein. I mean, come on. All right.
But on the surface, on paper.
Yes.
Can you at least see the potential for this to be an above average offensive line? When you look at how highly Dalton Reisner is thought of, Connor McGovern at center figures to be solid. Ronald Leary, you know, at one point was an all-pro guard. And you got Juwan James, who is certainly being paid with the idea that he's going to be a top right tackle. And you know, yeah, that leaves us with Bolsey, but the idea that, come on, at some point Bolsey has to get better. And that under the tutelage of Munchak, he will.
Why does he have to get better?
Because what you're looking at is you're looking at somebody who is, nobody denies his talent, his physical talent. And that at some point, you got to start to figure out how to harness all that and how to actually play the position and learn some of the tricks of the trade. I mean, you've talked about it all the time.
You're funny.
You talked about it all the time that, you know, when you're in this league, the idea that you're going to get by on just pure athleticism, you know, maybe early on you can do that, but eventually you're going to have to learn techniques. You're going to have learn some of the tricks of the trade because there's going to be book out on you. There's going to be film study. And the idea that you're just simply just going to out quick or outpower some guy over and over and over again isn't going to work. At some point, you have to expand. You have to learn. Why can't he do that?
That's a great question. All I know is I've talked to more than one team that took him off the board after meeting with him. With all that talent, he's undraftable. So,
all right, where would you put the Broncos' offensive line? And I'm not looking for a specific number, but is this a top half of the league?
Bottom third.
Bottom third. So this is somewhere between 22 and 32.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair. And again, you got to go through, probably you got to go through all these O lines and stuff, but, like, if I was just looking at pure talent alone, I mean, I'd go Baltimore better, Cleveland better, Pittsburgh better, Indianapolis better, Jacksonville better, Tennessee better. I could go on. That's just off the top of my head. Chargers are better. I mean, come on. 12? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous rating.
I think you want to say something even stronger than that.
Well, you know, I mean, you're counting on McGovern being really good. You're counting on Dalton Risner coming in here and I mean, both your two tackle positions, like I've told you, I like Juwan James' athleticism. I like the sets he takes. I like, does he fix the body clock that he's been playing with? Like, hopefully Mike Munchak does that. Does all of a sudden, I don't know the Garrett Bowles. I don't know that he'll ever, like, get to the point where he's a reliable left tackle, where he's not going to bust six plays a game and take bad sets because he's not sure what he's doing and get four holding calls or two holding. Well, he'll get two holding calls, but he should have four holding calls. I don't know that he'll ever do that.
Okay. Coming up, what we saw yesterday in the All-Star game that tells us the Rockies will and why they won't make a second-half push. It was all on display last night. Tell you about it next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
Entertaining All-Star game last night.
It was, man.
Plenty of Rockies on display as all four guys got into the lineup. Mixed results. Uh-huh. Best of the best was Charlie Blackman. He had a home run. David Dahl had a hit, scored. Quiet night for Trevor Story. He struck out. Nolan Arenado went 0 for 2. By the way, hopefully this is just a little phase for Nolan, but dude's in a slump right now. He had an 0 for weekend in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He is hitless in his, he went 0 for 10 in Arizona. Added an 0 for 2 last night. So he's 0 for 12.
0 for 12.
Hasn't homered since June 28th.
That is what we like to call a power outage,
a bit of a slump. But was last night almost like a perfect microcosm for why and why not the Rockies can make a second half push? Like, for example.
Yeah.
You see the offensive talent, okay? They're all there. They're all there for a reason. They had four guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing, really, when you think about it. For a fourth-place team, you had four guys on the National League All-Star team.
At one point, Houston had, I think, the whole outfield.
I know. I was like, wow, there's Springer, there's Brantley, there's Bregman. They're all over the place.
Right.
But
Verlander started.
Verlander out there. But yet, for all the offensive, tantalizing offensive talent that clearly is on this team and the potential for them to get hot, dude, I'm watching these pitchers for both teams, and I'm like, the Rockies don't have one guy who has stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody raves about Herman Marquez stuff. It doesn't compare to any of the stuff I was watching last night.
Yeah, I think, you know, you want to talk microcosm of why or why not. The other thing we saw, you know, amid all the accusations by Justin Verlander that the ball is juiced and Major League Baseball knows it's juiced and they're the ones that created it and they own Rawlings. And so, you know, like, you do the math, you connect the dots, right? All that talk that we heard from Verlander. And you know what I saw? Dominant pitching last night. Dominant pitching. And I'm telling you, man, I'm watching guy after guy roll out that I'm just like, Lord have mercy. Like, you see the late tailing movement on the fastball. You remember when, the half a season, who was our pitcher here? 97, 98, the Crush the Beans guy.
Oh, Ubaldo.
Yeah, Ubaldo.
Oh.
When he had that, he 98 with about, you know, a 14-inch run on it. Like, it's just like, how do you throw 98 and have the ball basically just take a right? Like, when it gets to the dish. Like, how in the world? It was every guy that rolled out was throwing like that. And then they had just filthy off speed, whether it was their changeup, whether it was their, you know, their slider, or whether it was a curveball. I mean, it was nasty, backed up by that 95 to 97, 98 mile an hour heater that had great movement on it. It just was, I'm telling you, it was a thing of beauty last night. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking, this is why the Rockies will not be a wild card. They won't make the wild card. I mean, I literally sat there, and that was what was going through my mind. This is why they won't make the wild card. Because they don't have anybody like that.
But do you need a guy like that to make the wild card? I agree with you. In order to get into the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs, you better have a guy or two like that. But we're talking about getting into the playoffs. The Rockies haven't had that kind of guy the last 2 years. Marquez had a run there for a while where his stuff looked like that, but it hasn't been there this year.
No.
Freeland, of course.
Marquez was great that way a year ago. He hasn't been the same. He's been good. Don't get me wrong. It's not that he's not good. He's good, but he hasn't been that guy. And then Freeland was a stop. Freeland was great last year. Come on. Like, he's going to come up Friday. They play again Friday. He'll probably be up. But right now they're a game and a half out of the wild card, right? A game and a half out.
Two and a half.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at Arizona, who's jumped them.
Yeah, the Rockies are fourth in the West right now.
Oh, my Lord. They're behind. Well, they're behind Washington, Philly, Milwaukee.
They're going to have to jump over five teams.
Arizona. The Padres jumped them.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis has jumped them.
But, again, St. Louis, Padres, Diamondbacks outside of Greinke, Milwaukee, Philly. I mean, yeah. You know, it's not like you're talking about just nasty, nasty, nasty when you're talking about all those teams.
I guess it's over.
No, no, no. There's still time.
Mike?
There's still time. Hey, listen, it's the regular season. The regular season, you play a lot of bad teams, a lot of bad pitching.
Right.
And you can mash your way to a wild card. You can still mash your way.
Okay.
That's why what you saw on display was the hopeful part of it.
Okay.
Now, get in the playoffs, you better be able to pitch. And, you know, that's why even if they get in, it'll be short. And that's probably why Jeff Breidich will not do anything in order to make a big move, because he knows that even if they get into the playoffs, even if they get in as a wild card, they're not going to do anything.
Right.
All right, let's go out to our pal Scott Zuhoff, who is overseeing the big T-shirt giveaway today, the Road to Redemption training camp T-shirts. Scotty, you're there at the Breaks Plus. What's happening?
Guys, I'll tell you what just happened. There's two great things that just happened here at Colorado and Evans Breaks Plus. One, I signed an autograph, Mike. There is some photographic evidence of this. Yeah, I learned from watching Mark, not you, sign autographs on the proper way to sign a shirt. Looked amazing. Then, get this. It was amazing. This lady driving a truck, a big old side dumper, blocks traffic. Kid you not, blocks traffic right here on Evans, runs out of her truck, runs over to the tent. I thought she was running towards me. I thought we were going to have this magical moment where we embrace and hug and spin. But no, she wanted a T-shirt, so I gave her a T-shirt. Then she ran back. There's like this massive backup because she wanted a free T-shirt. It was a really cool moment. I was a little sad at the end, but it was pretty cool. But it's a we still got some T-shirts here at Colorado and Evans at the Breaks Plus. I'm not leaving until I get rid of all these, okay? So if you thought we were done, I got more. I found them in the back of the truck, and we're giving all these shirts out. Again, Colorado and Evans at the Breaks Plus.
That's cool. You know, we've seen the hysteria surrounding these T-shirt giveaways over the last few years, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time where a lady driving a side dumper blocked traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
It's really awesome.
The fact that we created a traffic snarl.
Mm-hmm. It's not
kinda,
awesome.
Kind of proud of that.
It's not awesome if you're in the traffic snarl and you're like, I got to get to work. I'm going to be late.
Sure.
And I got to get to work.
Right.
And the side dumper is basically stop me. Speaking of dumper, I wonder if she asked about my colon.
Coming up, four down territory. Next.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
With the 24th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Josh Jacobs, running back, Alabama.
All right, there is ESPN there with the coverage of the NFL Draft that saw Josh Jacobs go to the Raiders. Pretty impressive young guy. We got a chance to talk to him at the Super Bowl. He was making the rounds. You know, running backs going in the first round these days, it almost feels like it's kind of a waste that you're kind of overdrafting a guy in the first round when you see how many running backs and running back by committees there are out there. But is this a good move? They had a bevy of first round picks. They used one on a running back. Is this a solid move by the Raiders?
Well, looking at and having called one of their games and looking at the talent they had, they've got some guys that, you know, can be third down specialist type guys, but they need an every down back, and they did not have one. They didn't have one last year. They were so just bereft of talent at all the ball handling positions. I will not call it the skilled positions. The ball handling positions.
So being a running back isn't a skill? A skilled position?
It's a ball handling position.
That requires skill.
Every position requires skill. So you're saying that just because you touch the ball doesn't make you
left guard is a skill position?
You're damn right it is. You're going to piss me off. Like, we need to move on because you know I'll get riled up.
Josh Jacobs last year only ran the ball 94 times.
Yeah.
For 495 yards. So he's not one of those typical Alabama running backs who've been used up in college and don't have much tread left. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Tom needs someone to throw to, so you know he calls Mr. Reliable Robbie G, the one and only. Woo!
I'll tell you what, even for Rob Gronkowski, that's a new one.
Yes, that's straight up.
Robbie G, woo!
WWE meets the Jersey Shore. Like, he is going to have his own reality TV show. He'd be a fun dude to just travel around and watch him, you know, act the fool.
Just on the road with Gronk, huh? Well, here's the story. Apparently, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski have been working out together.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing sessions
right.
in Los Angeles. Now, it's being sold as, hey, their schedules both kind of worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brady is always looking for people to throw to, stay sharp. And it isn't always current teammates. Sometimes it is past teammates that are no longer playing. But, you know, this adds a little speculation to the idea that Rob Gronkowski may be retired, but retired for how long? You still seem to think he'll return at some point.
I do. I think at some point they're going to, you know, call him up and say, hey, like your little vacation time, this was cute. It's over. It's fun. You know, you miss camp. You got week 4 or 5. Why don't you swing on in and you get yourself into kind of quote-unquote playing shape.
Here's the thing about that. I mean, you know, Belichick, we've seen how important the tight end position is to the Patriots. They've had Gronkowski forever. He overlooked the obvious red flags that were all over the place with Aaron Hernandez, but Hernandez was a dynamic player for him.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, their tight end depth chart is somebody named Andrew Beck, Ryan Izzo, Benjamin Watson, who's 38 and had retired and now has come out of retirement, and is facing a 4-game suspension, by the way, at the start of the season, and honestly, their best tight end right now is former Bronco Matt LaCosse.
Mm-hmm. You don't think there's room for Gronkowski on that roster?
Of course there's room for Gronkowski.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, like, I don't have any inside information on this. I just know once you get through your, dalliance with the retirement, you know, you go on this little tryst with retirement, you know, there comes a time when you're kind of sitting around and football's going on and you're like, man, am I bored. I'd like to maybe, I don't know, play a little and collect those checks.
By the way, Matt LaCosse, 24 catches with the Broncos last year. I swear, if he goes for like 60 and six touchdowns this year.
Yeah, you're going to go nuts.
Would it really surprise you?
No, it wouldn't.
Next in four down territory.
Down. Jimmy stepping up, avoiding a rusher, spinning out to his left. Can he make something happen? Looking toward the end zone, not going to run sideline. Garoppolo to the 10. Garoppolo takes a hit, and he's down at the 8.
And he's hurt.
At the 7, and Garoppolo is a little slow getting up.
And I give Jimmy a lot of credit and for now, trying to stay back inside, Ted, but he's got to go out of bounds right there. He cannot take that hit.
49er Radio, well, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G., the man who is so handsome that Tom Brady forced him out of New England.
It's true.
Says he's good to go, coming back from an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And man, can you recall, I'm not even going to say an NFL player, I'm not even going to say a quarterback, can you recall an athlete that has had more, I guess, hype thrown his way, money thrown his way, an outrageous top-end NFL contract thrown his way without really doing much in the league? He has played since entering the league in 2014. Jimmy Garoppolo has played a grand total of 26 games in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has thrown 17 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. That is the extent of Jimmy Garoppolo's career. And yet, if you didn't know better, you just would walk around assuming this guy is one of the truly elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Have you seen him? He's beautiful.
Jeez.
Guy's beautiful.
He is handsome.
Beautiful. Those kind of looks, that kind of beauty, going to get you paid. You can walk off the NFL. I mean, you can walk off the playing field right into an underpants catalog. I'm not kidding you. Chicken cutlets. Look it up. Look it up.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Fourth Down.
I love it every day when I go in the building. All I see is him. You know, in there before everybody else, rehabbing, doing whatever it takes. And I just think he's really on a different mental state than he's ever been, as far as training, ignoring distractions, and really just trying to be the best player he is. So I just see that much worker and a guy who's about to do some big things this year.
Lane Johnson of the Eagles. Very impressed with what he's seen from Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
How Wentz is in a great mental state right now.
Okay.
And that he's ready to burst back on the scene. The NFC quarterback picture is fascinating because you've got the ones out there already that you know about, the Drew Brees, the Aaron Rodgers, the Russell Wilsons. But, you know, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? What about Carson Wentz? What about Jared Goff? What
right.
about Mitch Trubisky? All these guys that are, you know, pretenders or legitimate contenders for the throne.
Yeah, and we're going to see. Like, this is a great, like, you always talk about this being a great kind of litmus test for the Denver Broncos this year. Is it the talent or was it the coaching? Kind of like, we're going to get some answers. We're going to get some answers about these young guys. Like, are they ready? Are they ready to kind of take over the helm as the next group of really, like, elite type quarterbacks ready to take over for, you know, the Rodgers of the world and all the other NFC quarterbacks when they eventually go by the wayside? So I don't know. It seems to me there's a lot of great young quarterbacks in this league right now, and that's kind of a fun place to be.
Hey, the lady side dump driver just checked in.
She
was one that stopped traffic.
Yeah.
So she could get her Road to Redemption t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And she just sent in a text. Sorry, Mark, I didn't have time to ask about you and your colon, but I did say I was listening. Tell Scott I would have given him a hug if I'd known. Lady side dump driver, Bronco fan since the 60s.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Okay.
You ever driven a dump truck?
Have I driven a dump truck? I don't know that I've driven a dump.
I got to do it once.
Did you?
Yeah, I was working for the town of Atkinson in college.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Morelli, who was our guy, great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Old salty guy, right?
Uh-huh.
And we had two projects going on at the same time. And I am literally 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had my driving license for a few years. I do not have a commercial driving license.
Sure.
Okay? I do not. He's like, hey, Evans. Yeah, you know how to drive a stick? I'm like, yeah. He goes, take the dump truck over to, you know, such a dump truck.
Right. Oh, man, you felt like at 19, you're like total man.
And I was driving the dump truck through the town of Atkinson.
Just arm hanging out the window. How you doing, ladies? Driving a dump truck.
Maybe I grinded a few gears here and there, but yeah. I got it there.
Mm-hmm.
I got it there.
Nice.
Big old, you know, one of those big old just classic dump trucks, you know,
I love it,
a real life Tonka truck, you know what I mean?
Makes you feel like a man.
Oh, it was awesome, man.
Mm.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We visit with our Denver insider Troy Rank coming up next. All right, last we heard him yesterday, it was 2 days ago, filling in for Nick Ferguson, who was in for you on Monday as you were getting your colon checked. It is the one and only, our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank. Good morning, Troy. Don't you love the way we introduce you?
Yes.
Awkward and clumsy as usual. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Hey, what'd you make of, Mike and I were talking about the All-Star game last night and the Colorado Rockies, you know, representing well at the dish, but, like, I came away watching the All-Star game and watching a bunch of pictures that I really haven't watched this year, especially the American League guys. And I came away going, well, that's why we're not going to get into the wild card. And if we happen to get in the wild card, that's why we're not going anywhere. So the pitching was outstanding and ridiculous. And it just made me realize for me, Troy, that we're still a ways off from kind of fixing this thing here in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, they're 30th in overall ERA. I mean, your best pitcher on your team is in AAA, and Kyle Freeland. Herman Marquez has had a bit of a rough stretch here. I agree with you. I mean, I've said this. I said this on Denver 7 on Sunday night, that the problem with trying to hit your way to a playoff berth is you could do it at home, especially against 3, 4, and 5 starters. You can't beat number one and number twos on the road trying to hit. It just doesn't work. And you saw it last night. It's the best hitters in the game. They can barely get any resistance, any traction against these guys. And that's the issue with the Rockies right now. Their home road splits are worse than they've ever been. And the way you stay in games on the road is you keep it close where it's 3-2 and you get one good at bat with runners in scoring position. And right now you look at their pitching and you just wonder how they're going to get to the finish line. The caveat would be that Freeland comes back, and I still believe in Kyle. I hope this doesn't end up being a complete lost year for him. But if he were to come back, get hot, all of a sudden you feel like, okay, there's some hope in the rotation. It'd be almost like a trade acquisition, frankly, if he were to come back and start pitching well again. But, yeah, they're in a tough spot, Mark, because the pitching staff has been a problem for much of the season.
Okay, with Freeland coming back, I heard from somebody this morning on our text line who clearly is into the analytics, the numbers of baseball, and he said, I told you so. I told you the advanced metrics, even of what Freeland was doing last year, did not back up his actual record. So was what he did last year, was it kind of a fluke?
Well, I don't think it was a fluke. Now, he could have easily been, you know, closer to a 3.5 or 3.7. I mean, he wasn't fluky in that way. It just, you know, you there is some luck involved, and the team's playing well. They played well when he pitched. I mean, there are things that you don't control as a pitcher that can help your overall stats. You know, there can be lineouts. There can be things that save your ERA, but there's no way you can do it over the course of a season for me and at altitude pitch for the Rockies and have that kind of year and say it's flukish. As a reliever, I've seen guys have flukish halves, first or second half. I don't know that you can have a flukish year as a starter. Again, it looked like to me this year, right-handed hitters decided they weren't going to swing at inside fastballs with him, and they were going to wait to see if he could throw a strike out over the plate. And when Kyle got frustrated, his arm slot changed a little bit. The ball got up in the zone. It's in a year when everything hit hard seems to be leaving the park because of the baseballs. You know, so somewhere in between, there's an answer is what I'm getting at. He's still really talented. He may never have a year like he had last year, but there's no reason to think he can't be a solid big league starter.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year he commanded both sides, arm and glove side, commanded both sides of the plate, threw strikes. I mean, every outing was 7 innings plus, 3 hits, 1 run. I mean, he was outstanding last year. Here's where the advanced metrics screw up, because you look at a guy like Nola from Philly. Guy's got the worst spin rate in baseball on his curveball, and it's the most unhittable curveball in baseball. Like, more swing and misses on his curveball. So sometimes the analytics don't match. Like, that's where you have to use the analytics as a tool, but you damn well better be able to be old school and use the eyeball test as well, right, Troy? I mean, isn't that still part of the game?
Right. I mean, sometimes there's deception in a delivery that's not going to show up in the analytics. I mean, you're not in the box. And so, he doesn't have the same spin rate as someone else. Well, sometimes guys see guys better. You know this, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a guy gets the ball and it's out in front, and they're just, I ask hitters, like, man, how the hell do you see that? It's like, well, it looks like a beach ball coming in. I see it from the whole way, where some guys, they have just a little twist in their delivery, or they have a punch in the way they kind of send their arm back behind their body, and you see it late. In that way, it picks up 3 to 5 miles per hour. A guy's throwing 89, and on a hitter, it looks 94. The curveball, the way it breaks late. I mean, there's things that happen, the human element. I agree with you. That's why you have to talk to hitters. You have to talk to people on the ground. Like, what is it you see when you're in there? Because we're studying it, and the analytics don't match the effectiveness. Well, sometimes hitters just tell you, I don't pick this guy up well. I don't see the ball until late, and I'm always guessing.
Charlie Blackman goes yard, and immediately the conversation on social media, even in the booth, was about, well, okay, maybe he's not a Coors Field creation. And I know it bugs Rockies hitters, that this notion that, you know, oh, you're just simply a byproduct of Coors Field. I know it bothers a lot of fans out there. But You know, when I look at Charlie's splits this year, the guy's hitting 227 on the road and 460 at home. Is it, I'm not saying fair, but is at least a debate to wonder if he is a Coors Field creation?
Yeah, he's not. He's not the hitter he is at home, and he's not as bad as he is on the road. You see with a guy like DJ LeMahieu. Problem with playing at Coors Field is, psychologically, you know if you have a bad road trip, especially this year the way the game's playing, you can go back to Coors Field and get fat. I covered it for 15 years, and 10 of those years before, you know, where guys would know, hey, I could have a 3-for-24 road trip, and I'm going home, and I'm going 10 for my first 20. The confidence of playing at Coors Field where you're in scoring position when you step into the batter's box is real. But the problem that with Rockies hitters is the splits are so extreme. Almost all great hitters hit better at home. I mean, that's across the board. The splits here have been extreme. It killed Charlie a couple of years ago in his MVP, in the MVP conversation. I told people it would, but he's not as great as he is at Coors, and he's not as bad as he is on the road. If he went somewhere else, I have no doubt he would be a 280 hitter. He would hit 30 home runs. He would be a solid player. Would he have months like he had in June? Probably not. But that's where I feel sorry. Sorry is probably the wrong word, but I feel for them in this way. It just gets diminished to the point where they're not a good player. It's only because of Coors. That's silly. Guys like Charlie Blackman would be good elsewhere. He may not have the numbers he's had in certain months, but he'd still be good. But he has to live with it because of those splits. They're real, but it doesn't mean he's not a good player. I mean, that's kind of weird. The nuanced argument of that is he would be fine elsewhere. He just wouldn't be putting up MVP numbers.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Troy, man, really appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for jumping on, man.
You got it, guys. See you.
All right, there he is, Troy Rank. Brought to us by Tranny Law. Have you or someone you know been charged with a DUI? Call for free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. And Troy and all of our guests appearing on the Jägermeister hotline. Now, you look at somebody like Nolan Arenado, and Nolan's splits have always been...
Yeah, they're pretty spot on, right?
They're pretty
close.
Solid.
Yeah.
Now, this year it's a little bit skewed. He's 258 away, 370 at home.
It's over 100 points, Mike.
But,
Well, the homers have always been
the
like...
They've been
more on the road than at home, but what are your homer splits? Do you have?
Well, last year, his big year, he had 23 at home, 15 on the road.
Okay.
This year, Nolan's home run total is 9 at home, 11 on the road.
Okay.
So, the home runs, but...
But a hundred point swing in your batting average home. Now, here's one thing that really hurts you when you go on the road initially, and this is where people don't give enough credit. That the ball movement, the break, you know, and the movement on the fastball and the break on the off speed stuff is so dramatic that it usually takes you two or three games of seeing the ball at sea level before you kind of adjust. So your initial, I'd be interested to see like the first, let's call it the first two games of a road trip or the first three games of a road trip versus the rest of the road trip after you've kind of adjusted and what those splits are. Because I think that would probably be more telling. Like, okay, let's throw out the first three games and let's just do the last four games of the road trip. If it's a seven game, whatever it is, you know, the first two games. And see, then see how close those splits are because, like that to me, you look at this last road trip in Arizona right before the All-Star break, right? They go from Houston, where they're facing Houston at home. They go to Arizona and the Arizona broadcast. You mentioned it. You were listening to the Arizona broadcast because you were out camping. And they're making fun of the Rockies hitters.
They kept referring to him as the Rockies four all-stars. And you could tell it was being said very sarcastically. Like, oh, wow, this team's got four all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
This team, the team that we're ready to sweep and we'll drop them into fourth place. This team has four all-stars. The thing about the splits, and I know it bugs a lot of you as Rockies fans, but geez, and I haven't done an exhaustive study of it, but I just, all right, so last year the Red Sox win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went quickly and looked at the splits of their two best hitters last year, Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, both MVP candidates. Betts won the MVP. Martinez split 334 at home, 326 on the road.
Right.
Mookie Betts was is 331 at home, 318 on the road. So you're always going to be a better hitter at home most times.
Right.
But when you're talking about a difference of 100 points plus, or in the case of Charlie, 200 plus points,
is it fair to say you're
Coors Field creation?
You're not doing yourselves any favors when your splits are that dramatic. Like I said, I'd like to...
Now, it didn't hurt him that much. Four guys from this lineup were in the All-Star game
last night. Let's face it now. You're talking about four guys that can flat-out play defense and are five-tool players. I mean, Arenado and Charlie can't run like Story and Dahl can. But Story and Dahl are five tools, but all of them defensively. Arenado's the Platinum Glove winner. So you take all the Gold Glove winners, he's the best of all the Gold Glove winners, right? That's how good he is. He's ridiculous. Dahl, a phenomenal defender. And Trevor Story is a Gold Glove, he's a Gold Glove shortstop. And in an era where how good are the shortstops in baseball right now? And they are
golden age type stuff.
They're amazing all over. They're littered and Story's right there at the top of the shortstops in the National League. So, I put a lot of merit into how well you play defense getting elected in the All-Star game, but, I know it's more of a dish creation, but the Rockies are doing themselves no favors with those splits.
This is The Fan, KKFN, and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Congratulations, by the way, to all of you who got your Road to Redemption t-shirts. The Off Game All Out this morning.
Taking the shirt off.
Mm-hmm. So,
have you gotten one?
I have not yet received one. I've been told that there has been one medium put aside for me. So,
you could take that to your Apple Dumpling Gang weekend with your boys, and you might could win the wet t-shirt contest you guys are going to have.
Man, you got to feel this shirt.
Right, we have a wet t-shirt right after the egg toss and the three-legged race.
Easy, you're hurting my moves.
Then we do.
And then you guys put on Daisy Dukes and get tight t-shirts.
Kind of twist it a little.
Tie a knot right there so it's a belly shirt. You did, by the way, we went through my colonoscopy yesterday. You're going to get your back waxed again today.
Yes, I am. Today's back wax day. I'm heading back east. I'm going to be spending time at the ocean, the lake. I was at Bear Creek Lake yesterday, mm-hmm. my son and one of his buddies to the lake. And what can I tell you? Took the shirt off.
You take the shirt off in public?
Felt a little self-conscious. Felt a little self-conscious. I don't like the hairy back. Look, it's just me. I'm not a vain person, as you can tell.
I go to the beach. I keep my shirt on.
Why? Why? Why would you leave your shirt on?
I mean, I don't want to cause a riot.
Well.
Right?
Mark Slareth, handsome son of a bitch, get out here.
I just thought with your hairy razors.
You put in all that work.
And I don't take my shirt off.
You don't take your shirt off?
I thought with your hairy razors endorsement, you would just take your razors to the Apple Dumpling Gang weekend and have one of your body, like Stempy, shave your back or something.
Hey, Budley, shave my back, will you?
Yeah. Dodger. Dodger, get over here,
Dodger.
You get on the triceps, Dodger. They're a little hairy. Man, make it you is one of my favorite things. I am afraid to look at my text messages right now because if my wife is driving around, I am going to be in so much trouble.
You are going to be in so much trouble.